This morning's shiur is sponsored by Ava Kushner, Le'ilui Nishmas, her father, on the occasion of his 33rd yahrzeit, Yaakov ben Tzvi HaKohen, and we hope that he will have an aliyas on neshama. She also has dedicated the shiur for the return, safe return of the hostages and all of the chayalim who are fighting on behalf of Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael. We also thank our sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz from Teaneck, and we are grateful for their partnership in all that we do here. There was supposed to be someone who was here this morning who I very much wanted to recognize. His name is Mordechai. He is a chayal who fought. I don't know if any of your children saw him in any of the local schools this week. He's an amazing young man. I wanted to recognize him and give him the kavod that he deserves. He spent 2 weeks in the ICU. He was in a coma, and now he is walking, and he's healthy, and he's here to share his story. And he is a talented musician, and he's playing music all over the neighborhood in all the local schools, and all of our kids have an opportunity to meet him and to understand what it is that we've been davening for. We daven every day for the safe return of the chayalim. We daven that those who are injured should rehabilitate and be able to be healthy once again in Baruch Hashem. He had a large part of his chest that was burnt off. He had a broken hip. He had a number of other things that happened, and now he is walking and he is healthy and he is doing very well. And the reason I mention him is because part of what we're going to discuss today is really something that I thought about a lot as I was talking to him, and something that I've thought about a lot for myself as well. He was mentioning that he was just a very soft person who is a very gentle soul, who likes to just enjoy life and bring joy to people through the music that he plays. He lives in an RV. He's from. He's a very dedicated person to his friends and his friendships. And then he said, suddenly, in 1 second, he turned from being that gentle, kind, beautiful, sensitive soul to be a murderer, to be a person who goes out and who's just trying to do his job well. A murderer is not the right word, but that's what he said. I don't look at anyone like that, but that's the way he said it. And he said he was very conflicted. This is not what I'm here on this earth to do. This is not what I'm comfortable doing. This is not what I'm supposed to do. In fact, he had the distinction of being the very first tank to go into Gaza. The very first one. Can you imagine what that feels like? And I said to him, you're the Shliach Tzibur. Sometimes the Shliach Tzibur leads the community, and they have a community behind them who's singing, who's davening. Sometimes the Shliach Tzibur leads the entire Jewish people in battle, and that is a tremendous undertaking and very overwhelming. And as he thought about that, when he said he was going into Gaza, he was the first tank that went in. He said the rules in their unit are they have such sensitive information, they have such sensitive missions that they go on, that the rules that they are given by their commanders are that if anybody is ever about to be captured, they should just make sure that they're not captured. And you understand what that means. And he said, you're going into battle with that understanding. And he's young, and he's an amazingly heroic person. And we were talking a little bit about what does it mean to take your entire life and everything that you're used to and suddenly have to shift it to a whole other perspective and do things you're not comfortable doing? And I told him, honestly, it's not at all the same, but I think many people are struggling with similar kinds of ideas, of course, many, many, many notches and madrigos lower. For myself, I'm a Rav, I'm a Marbitz Torah, that's what I do. What am I doing in the UN? Why am I going to Washington, D.C. this week? This is not what I do. But sometimes we do have to do things that we're not comfortable doing. Sometimes we are expected to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we are expected to do things that we never imagined ourselves doing. And I think that goes for all of us. So that's what I want to focus on a little bit today. Maybe it's a little therapeutic for myself to think about why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing. But on the other hand, it also is something that really resonates with the story of Purim. It's something that I've thought about a lot. As we think about the legacy of Mordechai HaTzadik, and you ask yourself, what was Mordechai HaTzadik and what did he do? Well, he goes down in history as the one who saved the Jewish people. He goes down in history as the one who is responsible for the entire Purim miracle. Him, together with Esther, and all the other components that came together to have this great miracle of Inahapachu. But Mordechai, in his essence, was the Gadol Hador. Mordechai was the leader of the generation. Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin. Not just a member, he was the most prominent member of the Sanhedrin. What that means is there were Nevi'im who Mordechai used to spend time with. There were people who had Nevuah who Mordechai used to hang around with. These were his colleagues. These were his comrades. These were the people who he was used to spending his time with. This is what he did every day. And then suddenly he's thrown into a situation where everything about the life that he knew is no longer the life that he's experiencing. Suddenly he's thrown into a situation where there are many other demands of his time. And he is expected not to be teaching Torah. He's expected not to be the Gadol HaDor right now. He's expected to be doing things that are out of the realm of possibility of what he ever thought he would be doing. He's negotiating. He's going to Ahasuerus' palace. He's listening in on conversations between two people who are having some discussion outside of the palace. He's then going to the king and telling him these secrets. What are you involved in this? This is not what you're supposed to be doing. But the answer is, history has only remembered Mordechai and nobody else. Can you name me one other person from the time of that era, from that story, that is significant to Jewish history? Esther and Mordechai the same. Thank you. Can you name me any other person? You can't. So you ask yourself, did Mordechai do the right thing, or did he do the wrong thing? History has remembered Mordechai because he did the right thing. He did the right thing. And the Gemara tells us, as we're going to see later on, but I guess I can mention it now, the Gemara tells us about Mordechai. You know, it's very interesting that at the very end of the Megillah, after all that Mordechai has done, I would ask you, imagine if you have somebody who is so obviously the savior of the entire Jewish people, this miracle would not have happened without Mordechai's involvement. Not just without his oversight, but without his intimate involvement on a day-to-day basis about everything that was going on, his leadership. And we're told at the end, imagine what kind of victory parade you would make for Mordechai in our community if this is what happened. If there was one individual we can turn to and we can say, it is clear, again, we don't have that today, but it is clear that the miracle of the survival of the Jewish people rested on this individual's shoulders. Can you imagine what kind of reception we would give that individual? Can you imagine how much kavod that person is deserving of? So what happens to Mordechai? After the whole story is over, what's the very end of the Megillah? What are we told about Mordechai? Ki Mordechai ha-Yehudi mishneh la-melech Achashverosh. Imagine. Mordechai, who was supposed to be the one who was going to be killed by Haman, the entire Jewish people were going to be la-hashmid la-harogu la-abed. At the end of the story, Mordechai ha-Yehudi was mishneh la-melech Achashverosh. What does that mean? He was the second in command to Achashverosh. What does it mean to be the second in command to Achashverosh? Let's not forget, Achashverosh was the melech al sheva v'esrim umeya medina, which basically means he ruled the entire world. So you are the second in command to the most powerful person in the entire world. Amazing. You are the one who saved the entire Jewish people. Listen to the rest of the pasuk. V'gadol la-Yehudim. Mordechai was also a great member of the Jewish community. V'ratzui l'rov echav. Most of the Jewish people appreciated him. What does that mean? The Gemara asked that question. It means some didn't, correct? The Gemara asked that question. Who are those detractors? I would say, in our generation, we have a very easy way of answering that question. The bloggers, the Facebook posters, the Twitter followers, who always have a nasty word to say about everything and everyone. And instead of seeing a nice moment in history and celebrating it, they just have to always see a negative spin. I'm not saying everybody, but we have plenty of those individuals. That's what I would have answered if the Gemara asked me, who are those detractors? The answer is, those people who are still the detractors today. We have them. It's not what the Gemara says, because we shouldn't pay attention to those people. So obviously, the pasuk would not have mentioned them because they're irrelevant. Who cares what they say? You always have people who are going to have something negative to say. Ignore them. Just ignore them and do what you have to do. So what does it mean, Ratzui l'rov echav? Most of the Jewish people liked him. Who were the Jews that did not appreciate Mordechai? Says the Gemara, they were actually a very important group of Jews who were not so impressed by him. Says the Gemara, l'rov echav v'lo l'chol echav. Are you telling me that not every single Jew was prepared to celebrate Mordechai? Who were those people who were the detractors? Says the Gemara, melamed shepirshu mimenu miktas ha-Sanhedrin. A number of prominent members of the Sanhedrin, leaders of the community, separated themselves from Mordechai. We used to be very close friends. We used to work together all the time. And now, Mordechai is no longer one of us. Mordechai is no longer one of you? What does that mean? Says the Rashi, the reason why is because Mordechai was no longer as engaged in Limud HaTorah or teaching Torah as he once was. He was now involved with Ahasuerus. He was now involved in all kinds of other matters. And that's the end of the story that the Gemara shares with us. Now, I wish the Gemara would then say the next part. So who's right and who's wrong? Who's right? Who does history remember? As I asked you before, can you mention a single member of the Sanhedrin from that generation? You don't know any of them. I'm sure they were very fine Talmidei Chachamim. I'm sure they were unbelievable, charismatic leaders. I'm sure that they infused a tremendous amount of Kedusha into the Jewish community. I'm sure they did an amazing job at what they did. The bottom line is, history has not remembered a single one of them. Because Mordechai was right. It seems to me, Mordechai was right. And that's why we're still talking about him. He saved the Jewish people. He went out of his comfort zone. He did something he never imagined himself doing. He lost his friends over it. His community, part of them, the most important part of his community, abandoned him. But he knew he was doing the right thing. And when a person knows they're doing the right thing, you don't worry about the detractors. You don't pay attention to it. You know you're doing the right thing. And history has remembered Mordechai for that tremendous, unbelievable, overwhelming sacrifice that he infused of his own life to the Jewish people. So the Gemara says in Maseches Horios, and this is what I mentioned to this young man. The Gemara says in Maseches Horios, when you're given a position of leadership. So some people have the mistaken impression. What exactly does a position of leadership mean? What does it mean that I'm in charge? I remember my father always told us it was a very simple mashal. But it very much resonated with me as a child. He always said, someday you're going to be in charge of something. You're going to be in charge of your family. You're going to be in charge of your community. You're going to be in charge of your classroom. Whatever it is, you're going to be... Someone is going to look to you for an answer. Whoever you are. And he always told me... Any of you ever visited while you were Stern College, the campus? So there's always a security guard in the front of the building. They look my father up and down every day. And yet... They still don't let him into his own building after 80 years of being there. Because he forgot his ID. I always wanted to ask them, does this man look like he would know how to be dangerous? Like, even if he tried, does he look like he would even know how to hurt anybody? But no, I'm in charge. This is the rule. This is what we do. And there's no exceptions. Now, we respect that. We understand it. But sometimes there should be an exception, right? So my father always said, he laughed whenever this happened. We had to walk home, get his ID, and come back. So my father always said there's two ways to look at your position when you're in charge. If you're in charge, it means you have the ability to say no. I'm in charge. You don't get in. If you're in charge, you also have the ability to say yes. You have the authority to say yes. I have the authority to say this is the exception to the rule because I made the rule. And since I'm in charge, I can understand when the rule does apply, when the rule does not apply. So there's two ways to express my authority over others. I can express my authority by saying, you can't do this because I'm in charge and I said so. Or I can express my authority by saying, I am in charge and that's why you could do this. Because you don't have to answer to anyone else other than me. I am the one who's making the rule. That's a tremendous perspective. What perspective does a person have when they're given that position of authority? Most people say, I'm the parent, I have a right to say no. Yeah, but you're the parent and you also have the right to say yes. You have the right to empower your children because you're the one who can believe in them. You're the one who can tell them how they can succeed. You're the one who can show them. So the Gemara says, some people, when they come into a position of leadership, kimedumen atem shesrara aninose nachem, you have the mistaken impression that you're given a position of authority, and it's because it comes with so much prestige and so much prominence and status that comes along with it, says the Gemara, Avdus aninosen lachem. What it means to have a position of authority is you have responsibility, you have a duty, you have a burden that's on top of your shoulders. That's what responsibility means. That's what a position represents. You have a responsibility. So the Medrash writes in the Tanchuma a very compelling story. Says the Medrash, Ish Trumos Yaharsena. That is a pasuk in Sefer Mishle. What does it mean? Ish Trumos means someone who is separated. Truma is separated. So if you have an Ish Trumos, means somebody who is separated. Sounds like a very holy thing. Somebody who separates himself is very special. But says the pasuk Yaharsena, that person who is separated is destructive. So the Medrash wonders, what is that a reference to? Who is separated? How are they destroying? What are they doing wrong? How do we understand what this is a reference to? Says the Medrash as follows, and Mesim Adam Atzmo Kitshuma Hazeh. If a person puts themselves in the world in a detached state, if they remove themselves, Shemushlechas Bezavios Habayis, they are isolated, they seclude themselves and say, I have to focus on my own things. I want to be a spiritual person, I want to be a leader, but I want to be an academic leader. Says the Medrash V'Omer, and he says, Mali b'toreach hatzibur. I have to be involved in someone's dirty mess with a divorce, back and forth. This is what I need to spend my time on? Because you two people can't act like adults, you have to act like children. I have to waste my time, I have to have sleepless nights. I have to leave my house and not be with my family because of your silliness? Really? Says the Medrash. There are people who feel that way. Mali b'dinayem. I have to be involved in your small issues. I had somebody who called me this week. They had some kind of issue. They were working in a school. In the last 3 months, they told the school they were leaving, and then they didn't pay them because the school was angry where they were going. Back and forth, the whole issue. He had me on the phone for a while. I was more than fine to talk to him. And then he says, and we're going to a Din Torah. I said, you're going to a Din Torah over this? Just sit down with an adult in the room and figure it out. He said, yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what a Din Torah is. But you don't even have to get to that. You're going to waste everyone's time. You're going to have Dayanim sitting around and back and forth over nothing. Over nothing. Says the Medrash, person can say to themselves, Mali b'toreach hatzibur. Mali b'dineihem, I have to be involved in your disputes, in your bickering, in your silliness. Mali l'shmoa kolam, I have to go and be busy with this, with people fighting with each other, people yelling at each other. I had to be called in the middle of the night because there was some mother who was abusing her child, and the child ran away to someone's house, and I had to go there in the middle of the night? Really? Can't everyone just behave? So you may say to yourself, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I'm interested in doing. I want to be the Ish Trumos. I want to be the person who spends his time with spiritual matters. I want to be the person who spends his time connecting with the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is pulling me further away. This is taking me away from my dream, from my goal. Says the Medrash, if a person says, Shalom Alecha Nafshi, you know what? I know the way we would say it in English, but Shalom Alecha Nafshi, it's not appropriate to say it this way. But that means, you take care of yourselves. I'll go back to my business. You all take care of yourselves. Says the Medrash, Harezem Machriv Es Ha'olam. That's what it means, Ish Trumos Yaharsena. You're destroying the world. Why do you have your job? Why do you have your position? Why are you in a position of authority? For what? For what? So that everyone can stand up for you? That's what it's for? That's what it's for? I was so touched this week. We had a Yachad Shabbaton in our shul. So a couple of months ago, I'm the rabbi of Yachad. It's a privilege to be involved with them and to deal with their shilas that come up all the time. It's really amazing. So they had a lot of Yachad participants who were here for Shabbos. So it so happens, a couple of months ago, I brought a group of Yachad kids to the White House to go bowling. Fine, don't ask questions. Interesting. So we went. So this Shabbos, I'm sitting up here Friday night, and one of the Yachad participants walks up to me, and he says, what are you doing here? Why are you sitting here? So I said, what do you mean? I didn't know what he was asking. He says, don't you run the bowling alley in the White House? So I told him, yes, On Sundays, that's what I do. On Shabbos, I'm usually here. And I was so touched by it. It was amazing. What's our job in the world? Let him think I run the bowling alley in the White House. Amazing. It makes him feel good? Great. So somebody was standing there. They were mortified. I can't believe it. A Yachad advisor was like, this is amazing. This, to me, was a career highlight. That somebody confused me with being the White House bowling alley operator. I was so amazed by that. But you know, says the Medrash, that's your job. What is your job? What are you supposed to do? Just sit up here? That's what you're supposed to do? Or are you supposed to get your hands dirty? Do something for people. Change their lives. Make them feel good. Make a difference in the world. We can all do it. If you don't do that, says the Medrash, and you decide, let me just close myself off. Hariza machriv es ha'olam. Maisa b'Rabasi, says the Medrash, there's a story with Rabasi, k'shahay mistalek min ha'olam. When he was on his deathbed, Nichnas ben Achoso Etzlo, his niece, came to see him. And Matzo Bocha, she saw that he was crying. There are many people at the end of their lives that have all kinds of regrets. The famous saying goes, nobody ever regretted spending too much time in the office. I'm sorry. Spending too little time in the office. What do people regret? I should have had a stronger relationship with my children. I should have gotten more involved in my community. All kinds of things that people think about. You ever read Tuesdays with Maury? An amazing book, but that's what it's about. What kind of things do you think about when life flashes in front of you? So says the Medrash, Reb Asi is on his deathbed and his niece comes in to see him and she sees that he's crying. Amar lei Rebbe mipnei ma ata bocha. I understand why certain people have regrets in life. I understand why they cry in the end. What are you crying about? You lived an amazing life. You've done everything in the world. You've been a selfless person. Why are you crying? V'chiyesh Torah shelo lamadata v'limadata. Is there any aspect of Torah that you didn't master and then teach? You've done everything. Harei talmidecha yoshim lefanecha. Look, your talmidim are all over the world. Look what you've done. Look what you've accomplished. Yesh gemilas chasadim shelo asisa. Is there an aspect of gemilas chasadim in the community that you haven't been involved with? V'al kal mido shahayibacha hayisa misrachik min adinim v'lo nesata rishus al atzmocha lehismanos al tzorche hatzibur. You refused, whenever you were asked to take a position, you refused and you said humbly, not because you didn't want it, but you said very humbly, that you declined, that you dismissed the opportunity, it's not for me, like Moshe Rabbeinu, kavad peh, kavad lashon. So, what are you feeling sad about? You tried your best, you did everything in the world that a person can want. Amar Leh, he said, Aleha ani bocha, that's why I cry. Shema etein din v'cheshbon. Maybe someday I will have to give an answer, a din v'cheshbon, al shahayisi yachal lasos dineim shel Yisrael. Maybe I should have taken those positions. Maybe when I was asked to be the head of the Beis Din, I should have said yes. And it would have meant I would have wasted the rest of my life sitting and listening to Narishkeit, to two neighbors who can't get along with each other, to somebody who says you built a fence in my property 1 inch over where you're supposed to, to somebody who said you built a house without a variance, to somebody who said all this nonsense. I would spend the rest of my life doing that. Al zani bocha. Yes, I accomplished great things in my teaching of Torah, in my learning of Torah. I was a Baal Chesed. But maybe there was more I could have done for people. And would it have pulled me away from learning Torah? Maybe. But maybe that's what I should have done. That's why I cry. That's my regret. My regret is that I may not have taken advantage of the opportunity to do more for people. What an amazing life. What an amazing personality. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh writes in the very last parsha in the Torah, Bezos habracha asher berach Moshe Isha Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. So he's referred to as the Isha Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man of God. He's as close as you can get. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, what does it mean? Isha Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. You know how he became the Isha Elokim? You know why Moshe became the one who was so close to the Ribbono Shel Olam? The answer is because he was Es B'nei Yisrael. Because he spent his whole life infusing of every ounce of himself to the Jewish people. Because he lived a life understanding the needs of other people. What he brought himself to be because of all of that involvement was the Isha Elokim. That's how you become an Isha Elokim, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. Think back to the Eser Makos in Mitzrayim. Paro, as the leader of the nation, is negotiating back and forth Moshe Rabbeinu. So we take the second Makkah, Makkah Tzvardeya. Paro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Va'era and he says, Vayomer, listen carefully, what does he say? Ha'atiru el Hashem. Look, I can't take these Tzvardeya anymore, it's driving us crazy, we can't sit on a chair, we can't sleep on a bed, we can't bake anything in the oven, this is terrible. You got to get rid of the Tzvardeya, it smells everywhere we go. So he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, please, Ha'atiru el Hashem, I want you to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yaser ha'tzvardim, and let him just get rid of all the Tzvardeya that are all over the country. Mi meni umeyami. Make sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the Tzvardeya from me and from my nation. What's his emphasis? Mi meni umeyami. Most importantly, I'm going crazy. I need you to remove the Tzvardeya from my house and then also from everybody else. Such a self-absorbed, narcissistic, self-centered, egocentric personality. That's what he is. That's all he cares about. It's irritating to him. Yeah, it's irritating to everyone. But you put yourself first. Mi meni umeyami. Let's contrast that for a moment with an absolutely mind-blowing demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu does in his life? Anybody knows? Last thing that the Torah records Moshe Rabbeinu doing in his life. The last job that he's given. So listen, the Torah tells us, Sefer Bamidbar. When we get up to that, everyone will go over the Parsha, we'll be Mavr Sedra. You know, I was at the program this week, the 8-time Shasathon, which is an unbelievable day. Rabbi Ephraim Waxman spoke. And one of the points that he mentioned was, can you imagine if someone from 500 years ago would come into our generation and they would think about the amount of time that we have? How long did it used to take them to do the laundry? Right? Just a simple activity that now we just throw it in the machine, turn on the washing machine, switch it 45 minutes later, and we're done. Maybe we even have help in the house who does it for us. So how much time do we now have extra in our week? Because we have help in the house, we have a laundry machine and a dryer. So what do you do with that time? The assumption is, probably, every single Jew is a great Talmud Chacham because they have nothing else to do. You have so much extra time. It used to be people were struggling to make a parnasa. People were struggling to do all kinds of work that had to be done on a day-to-day basis. They didn't have time to learn. They didn't have time to do anything. What do you guys do all day? And he was painting this picture of somebody from hundreds of years ago coming into our generation and stopping us on the street and asking us a question in the middle of a Tosis and Baba Kama. And much to his shock, we wouldn't even know what Baba Kama is. And he'd say to us, what do you do all day? Like, where does all your time go? You have so much more time than I had. So an easy way to start is going over the Parsha every week. For men, for women, we should go through and see the Ribono Shel Olam is talking to us. Every Parsha is speaking to us. And you see it with a different perspective as you go through the experiences, the journeys of life. Just last week, the community of Shlomit, after almost 5 months, went back to the south. It's totally unsafe for them to be there. The army has told them they're not safe to be there until at least June or July. But they said, that's it, we're going back. Very idealistic people. I don't know if you saw the videos, but an amazing welcome that they got. And there were hundreds of people lining the roads to greet them as they came back. And one of the women who was there, who lost her husband, left me a message and said, this week's Parsha, Kisisa es Rosh B'nai Yisrael, I went with my head up high. I said, this is what the Jewish people always do. This is what we represent. This is who we are. We stand with our heads up high. The Torah speaks to us. The Torah every week in the Parsha speaks to us. And the experiences and the journey of our life are expressed through the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His Torah. So what are we told in Melchemes Midyan? That's the end of Sefer Bamidbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-Midyanim. The Midyanim are a terrible people. And I need you to take revenge. I need you to retaliate against the Midyanim. They deserve to be destroyed. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'eis ha-Midyanim. What are the next words? Achar te'asef el amecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu, here's your last job. Your last job on this earth is wage war against the Midyanim. They deserve to be punished. They need to be destroyed. And then you're going to die. Because we don't need you anymore. You've done your last job. You've led your last mission. We no longer need your involvement. So if you were Moshe Rabbeinu, what exactly would you do? Now, of course, you have great respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to disobey his request, but hey, I don't want to die. So it will take me a couple of years to formulate a plan. How we're going to destroy Midian? Let's talk to all the strategists. Let's figure out from the intelligence community how we're going to do this. By the time, you know, 5-10 years later, you'll figure out how to go to Midian and how to destroy them. This doesn't have to be done right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say do it now. He said, at some point, you got to take care of Midian. Moshe Rabbeinu understood his life is dependent on this war. Says Rashi there on Chumash. Afal pisha shama shemisasa tuluyu bedavar. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew with absolute certainty that his life was conditional, that his life was dependent on this war, he knew that the moment he finishes this battle, he is going to die. Asa b'simcha v'lo icher. Moshe Rabbeinu does not delay. Moshe Rabbeinu does not withhold. Moshe Rabbeinu does not postpone. Life is not about me. If the Ribono Shel Olam says the Jewish people need Midian to be out of the way, then I need to do that. And if the consequence of that is going to be I no longer have a job in the world, okay, what am I here for anyway? What is my tafkid? Why am I here? Is it not to serve the Ribono Shel Olam? That's what every God-fearing Jew believes in. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do, and he told me what's going to happen afterward, but I do it b'simcha anyway. Because he told me this is what I should do. This is what this Chayal Mordechai told me this week. He went out b'simcha. I'm the first tank rolling into Gaza. I know that I'm the first line of fire against the enemy. Someone has to do it. Someone has to do it. But that's what Rashi says. Asa b'simcha v'lo icher. He did it with simcha v'lo icher. He did not delay. He did not withhold. That was his last and final engagement on this earth. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a perspective on life. He understood what life was for. He understood why he was here. Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen Mitvinsk, who was the Mesha Chachma, has an absolutely astounding insight as he examines the lives of Moshe Rabbeinu and Noach, and he compares and contrasts both of them. It happens to be, I was at the Shasatan this week, I just mentioned, they had pictures up on the wall that were so beautiful. And I couldn't figure out what was the common denominator between all of those pictures on the wall. Like, they were huge pictures of great tzaddikim, great leaders of the Jewish people. But I couldn't figure out what was the connection between all of them. How did they choose these individuals to be on the walls? One of the members of the team came to tell us that the reason why they chose these individuals is because these were all the Gedolei Yisrael who never had children. And you look through and you see the Chazon Ish and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Satmar Rebbe and so many great, great tzaddikim and great Gedolim. Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk was one of them. The Mesha Chachma was the leader of European Jewry before the war. So many great people didn't have children. It was interesting that they actually had an internal machlokas whether they should do it. One of the members of the team said, this will inspire couples who don't have children to know you're not a nothing. Look, a lot of great people never had children. The other member of the team said, this is going to hurt them so much. Basically, you're saying, this is finality. These people left the world without children, so give up. Interesting discussion that they had. So anyway, Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, somebody who doesn't have children, when we tell over their Divrei Torah, these are their children. This is what they left over to the world. So Rav Meir Simcha tells us that Chazal draw a comparison. In the Zohar HaKadosh, he draws a comparison, a contrast between two iconic leaders in Jewish history. They refer to Noach as the Roa Hatipish, the Raya Shatya, the foolish, ill-advised leader. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu goes down in history as the Raya Mehemna, the Roa HaNe'eman, which means the faithful, devoted, the loyal leader of the Jewish people. So listen to the way the Medrash formulates the contrast between Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Tana Rabbanan, Ma Heishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeNoach Kishayatzim Min HaTeva. Noach comes out of the Teva. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Noach on that occasion when he left the Teva? V'ra'as Ha'olam Charev. Noach comes out and he sees the world is destroyed. The world is no longer here. Total devastation, total carnage. Amar Lo Ribono Shel Olam. Nikres Rachum. We refer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as someone who is kind and compassionate and sensitive and understanding. Ha'ilach Ale Rachim Abriyo Secha. How did you let this happen? Where is your Rachmanis? Where's your sympathy? Destroyed a whole world? Goes against everything we believe in, what we assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents. Hishiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, responds to him and he says, Raya Shatya, you fool. Achshav Ata Omer Azeh? Now you wake up after the destruction happened? Now you come and tell me this? Heichan Hayisa, where were you when I told you, Ani Hinani Mevi Mabel, Mevi As HaMabel Al HaAretz? Where were you when I told you, when I forecasted this was all going to happen? You were nowhere to be found, nowhere to be heard. Hu Hitzel Es Atzmo, Noach saved himself. He worried about his own family, and he paid no attention to anybody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not a leader. I don't care for your leadership. I don't want to hear from you. You're a Raya Shatya. Moshe Rabbeinu was the opposite reaction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him in last week's Parsha, I'm angry at the Jewish people. I want to destroy them. They served Avodah Zarah. Asu lahem egel masecha. They're serving Avodah Zarah. Moshe Amad Beperetz, Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and he says uncompromisingly, Im ayin mecheni na misifrecha asher kasavta. Just erase my name. I don't want to be a part of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, but we're going to start all over again with just you. Ve'eschel goy gadol, you are going to be the one. All of Jewish history will come from you. Imagine what a privilege. Moshe Rabbeinu will be the beginning of Jewish history. We're going to erase everything before him. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the center of attention. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Im ayin mecheni na misifrecha. This is not about me. It's not about me. It's not about my family. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are therefore referred to as the Raya Mehemna. That is a real leader. Somebody who really cares about the people. Someone who understands what the people's needs are. The Meshech Chachma quotes from the Arizal that Moshe's entire life and purpose, his entire mission, was to be Mesaken, to repair, to restore all of the devastation, the deeply flawed, lacking sense of leadership of Noach. It is of no coincidence that Noach waited 120 years before the destruction began. And how long was Moshe Rabbeinu's life? 120 years. This time, 120 years that was dedicated to holding back the community from being destroyed. Holding back the community from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger at times. That's the way Moshe Rabbeinu spent his life. How striking is it that Moshe Rabbeinu's choice of words, when the Ribono Shel Olam tells him that he's going to destroy the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mecheni na misifrecha, says the Meshech Chachma. Mecheni is really a word that is made up of two different words. Mecheni is Mei Noach. Mem Ches Nun Yud. Mecheni is really Mei Noach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's whole life was to reverse everything that happened by May Noach and show people what it means to be in a position. Noach is described in the beginning of his life as Ish Tzadik Tamim Haya B'dorosav. That's a pretty divine appellation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about you, you are righteous. Tamim Haya B'dorosav. As time went on, Noach is referred to as an Isha Adama. What's an Isha Adama? An earthly, non-spiritual being. You have nothing special about you. You care about yourself. You care about your own physical well-being. Moshe Rabbeinu was introduced to us in Chumash as Ish Mitzri. He starts off fully immersed in Egyptian culture. He's living in the palace of Paro. He's a part of the society. How does the Torah end off our description of Moshe Rabbeinu? Elevates himself to be an Isha Elokim. Says the Mashal Chachma, how do you grow from starting off as an Ish Mitzri to become an Isha Elokim? You live a life like Moshe Rabbeinu where you understand, Mecheni Nami Sifracha, my life is not self-centered. It's not just about me. There's something I can do. Noach went in the opposite direction. He starts off as an Isha Elokim, as an Ish Tzadik, and he ends up being an Isha Adama. What does your life stand for? What are you? You did nothing to help others. Zero. The whole world was destroyed in your generation. How could it be? How did you not stand up? And that is the choice that every single Jew has the opportunity to make. What kind of life will we experience? What kind of life will we live? Are we going to be self-absorbed, self-indulgent, inward-looking all the time, in Ish Mitzri and Ish Adama? Or are we going to pledge that we have the ability to be compassionate, to be considerate, to be understanding, to elevate ourselves, to be that Isha Elokim, to be that individual who grows like Moshe Rabbeinu? V'zos habracha sheberach Moshe Isha Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. The reason why he was elevated to be the Isha Elokim is because he cared so deeply about the Jewish people. And that is what he spent his entire life focusing on. That is what he did all the time. That's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, b'makom she'ein ish, hishtada lios ish. If you see that there's a job that needs to be done and no one else is doing it, you step up and you do it. Moshe Rabbeinu's first engagement in the world that we know about, that the Torah shares with us, is what? He goes out of the palace, and what does he see? He sees people are fighting. He sees a Jew is being hurt. And Moshe Rabbeinu, vayetze alecha vayifen ko vacho vayar ki enish. He looks around and he sees nobody's watching. So he's going to do what he has to do. There are different interpretations. What does it mean, vayar ki enish? Is that the way you live life? You just look around. Is anybody watching me? If you're doing the right thing, do the right thing. What's vayar ki enish? Moshe Rabbeinu is worried about what everybody thinks. He's doing the right thing. You're worried what some influencer is going to say about you? Who cares what they say about you? You're worried how they're going to write up the story? What's the difference? You're doing the right thing. So what does it mean by Yifen Kol Vacho Vayar Ki Enish? And the Mefarshim struggle with that. Rashi has a whole interpretation. Vayar Ki Enish means he saw there was going to be no positive future coming from this individual. He looked into the future. Vayif and Kovacho, he looked back in history, he looked forward in history, and he saw, there's nothing going to come of this person. I feel comfortable doing what I have to do because I know nothing will ever be of this individual. Vayar ki enish. But perhaps on a simple level, what does it mean, vayar ki enish? Moshe Rabbeinu looked around, he surveyed the scene, and he said, this is not what I do. I don't kill people. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a simple, innocent Jew. This is not what I'm involved in. But something needs to be done. Something needs to be done. Vayifen kovacho, he looks around to see, is there anybody else who's willing to step up and do what needs to be done? Vayar ki ein ish. And he sees there's no one in the world willing to take responsibility. There's no one willing to stand up and save another person. There's no other Jew that's willing to step in and make a difference. Moshe Rabbeinu says, then I guess it's my job. B'makom she'ein ish, hishtadel lios ish. Where there's nobody else is willing to do what needs to be done, I guess it's left to me, even though it makes me uncomfortable. It's against everything I stand for. It's not what I like to do. It's not what I'm busy with. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu does it because he understands this is the job that needs to be done. and therefore he stepped in and did it. This is what I think about as I consider the story of Mordechai HaTzadik. The story of Mordechai HaTzadik, as we mentioned, he was the hero of the entire Purim miracle, together with Esther, correct? But he was the hero of the story. And yet, Mordechai HaTzadik, in the very end, what are we told? Ratzui l'rov echav. Yes, he was a celebrated personality. And yes, Mordechai was the one responsible for everything, but Ratzui l'rov echav. He paid a very heavy price for what he did. He had friends who were his closest friends, who neglected him. Friends who had no respect for him. Friends who demoted him. Rashi tells us he used to have, the leader of the Sanhedrin used to have a certain seat. And after all of his involvement in politics, Mordechai was out. He was ousted. Demoted. But he did the right thing. He went out of his comfort zone to do the right thing. He identified a need that nobody else was willing to do. He realized he was in a position, for whatever reason, he was positioned in a way in his life that he was able to make a difference, and he said to himself, I will make the difference. I'm going to make it happen. And that is the choice every Jew has the ability to make. It's not only left to the Mordechai HaTzadiks of the world. It's an opportunity that every person has to think for themselves, like this Mordechai, not only in the days of the Purim story, but Mordechai that I met this week. What a Jew. What a Jew. He's a soft person. He plays music. This is not what he does. But he understands, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not comfortable doing it, but it's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to do it with conviction. And it doesn't matter that it goes against everything that I believe in and all that I stand for. But it's the right thing to do. So I'm going to do it. I don't have to fit into a box that people have painted about what I'm supposed to be doing. My job is to do what the Ribono Shel Olam wants me to do in the world. And sometimes that means different things. I remember when COVID started, Rabbi Moshe Brown told us a story. There was a meeting of Rabbanim, many, many, many meetings of Rabbanim. But one of them, Rabbi Moshe Brown, tremendous Talmud Chacham in Far Rockaway, he told us that he had a friend who lived in Baltimore. Rabbi Brown went to Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he had a friend who's lived in Baltimore ever since. And he said this friend of his has not missed a minyan, I forgot what he said, over 40 years. Didn't matter if he was sick, didn't matter anything. He was flying anywhere. The man never missed a minyan in 40 years, maybe even more. Never. Never, ever, ever. Rabbi Brown said he realized a couple of weeks into COVID, there were no minyanim. He said, I wonder how my friend is doing. I know how much he has been so careful about minyan. Wonder how he feels that he hasn't gone to a minyan in the last 3 weeks. He's never skipped a minyan in his life. So Rabbi Brown called up his friend. He just felt bad for him. So he called up his friend. He said, how are things? He said, everything's okay. Everyone in your family is all right? Yes. And like you haven't made the minyan the last 3 weeks. How do you feel? He said, how do I feel? I feel fine. What do you mean you feel fine? So the man told him, do you think I was making a minyan the last 40 years because I was Cal Ripken? A Baltimore legend. Do you think this was a streak? Okay, when I die, everyone's going to say he had a streak of never missing a minyan for X amount of years. That's not why I made the minyan. I made the minyan because the Ribono Shel Olam said you have to daven with a minyan. So that's what I did. And the last 40 years of my life, that's what the Ribono Shel Olam told me to do, and that is why I was uncompromising, because that's what I needed to do. But now the Ribono Shel Olam says don't make the minyan. I'm not having a hard time. I'm doing exactly what the Ribono Shel Olam wants me to do. And the same way I did what the Ribono Shel Olam wanted me to do for the last 40 years, I'm doing exactly what he wants me to do now. I have no reason to feel uncomfortable. I feel just as good as I did the last 40 years. Because the reason I did it the last 40 years was not for anyone to point out or to highlight how great I am, what a streak I had, what a tzaddik I became. The reason I did it is because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a good Jew to do. To daven with a minyan whenever they're able to. And I made sure that I was always able to daven with a minyan. And now I can't. And that's fine. Because that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me now. That's the way we're given the description of Mordechai HaTzadik. Looking at every situation and understanding, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do now? Not what did he want me to do last year or last month or last week? What does he want me to do now? How does he want me to approach this scenario, this situation that I'm presented with? Think about it. It's not always going to be the same answer. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do one thing. Sometimes he wants you to do something else. I was always amazed. I learned with my father for 10 years b'chavrusa when I was in YU. And I always felt bad. People used to come over. Every nudnik in the world came over. My father has so much patience. And he would just sit there and listen to them. I remember there was someone who used to come quite often, like for sure once a month. This man used to come. He used to tell my father about how the strings on a guitar are connected to Shiva Rikiyim. He had a whole explanation as to the depth of music. My father would sit there and shake his head. This man would talk for at least a half an hour, 45 minutes, without a give and take. He would just go. And it was like pressing play every time. The same thing. He would talk about the Shiva Rikiyim, how he saw Shlomo Kalbach in his dreams, and this, that. This guy would just go on. My father would just sit there and listen to him every time. I was so restless, I had no patience for this guy. So I would tune out and do my own thing. But the second this man walked away, the second this man used to walk away, my father was right back into the middle of a line of Tosas that we were reading. I remember so many times he would go to a meeting. The meeting would be an hour and a half long. He would come back and pick up in the middle of the line. I said, Daddy, 1 second. I don't know where we are. He's like, what were you doing the last hour and a half? I was at a meeting. Where were you? What were you doing? These are people who understand. Look at every moment and ask yourself, what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me right now? Right now, the Ribbono Shel Olam maybe doesn't want me to learn because he wants me to listen to someone who needs to be listened to. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do the second that's over? Go back to what I was doing. Go right back to what I was doing. But every moment has to be determined. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me now? How am I supposed to react? How should I spend my time? What should I be involved with? What should I choose to get involved with? What should I choose to stay away from? It's a decision that we all have to make at every juncture of our lives that has major consequences. We can change the world. You can change people's lives. You can make a real difference. If you only think about it, don't think about the box of what I always do. Think about, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do now? Not what I have done, not what I will do. What am I supposed to do now? How do I approach this situation now that's in front of me? And that is the way to become, as the Torah describes, an Isha Elokim. You start off as an Ish Mitzri. All of us were born as regular human beings. All of us are born to two parents who raised us like everybody else was raised. But you can elevate yourself throughout life to start off as the Isha Adama, as the Ish Mitzri, like everyone else, and go throughout the journey of life to become the Isha Elokim, the man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so proud of, because you spent the journey of life in a meaningful way, because you made a difference in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to. And that's what I think about as we're experiencing all of this, and people are expected to do things that they're otherwise not really comfortable doing. But we look to the story of Mordechai HaTzadik and we remind ourselves that's the way it always has been, and that is the way it should be. That is the way it should continue to be. And Amir Tashem, our efforts, all of our collective efforts, whatever everybody is doing should be matzliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us to the same experience, bin ahapachu. We're coming to that season of the year. We hope that that is what we will experience as well. Asher yishlatu hayehudim hema b'sonehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to see successes in all of our battles, to see that this war should be brought to a conclusion with the safe release of all of our chayalim and all the hostages, and Amir Tashem, Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people should continue to have shalom and should be able to live with peace and prosperity looking